When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's C-Dot.
And welcome into The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brent, no Dot today. Dot back on Monday. We've got some World Cup starting right now. Rob, do you plan this for the World Cup to start right now? I get it, man. People are asking, why don't the World Cup play their games at night? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice at night on primetime watching, you know, Spain and Belgium? Well, I guess we got to think about other people. Got to think about other people not watching the game at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning so they can watch it in the evening in prime time. So I get it. But yes, the quarterfinals on right now in the World Cup. Belgium, who unfortunately beat the United States 4-1 in Spain. And Rob had a live telecast on YouTube with Drew Nixon going over the entire game. And I checked in on that a few times, Rob. I checked in on it a few times, see how you were handling the situation, and was not disappointed by your reactions, because you've clearly followed this team and done your podcast, awesome podcast, 96.5 to the T, but you have loved every single second of this, and that was pure misery watching you.
It was pure misery watching the team. That was...
It's true.
It was... a little bit of hope, a little bit of belief, and then a lot of the same. Just same old, the United States.
Where does that leave us now, though? I mean, are you okay with it still, soccer? I mean, was this a success or not? People keep asking. And I was like, well, if everybody went out and they had a good time at the bars and, you know, bought into it as a success or failure, I don't know. If they were in the quarterfinals, it's certainly much better, but you kind of lost at the round of 16, so kind of throw your hands in the air. But I guess it's a success. People watched it. People loved it in Kansas City. They couldn't get enough of it. Number one in ratings every single week. The Team USA played.
I mean, it's a success in the fact the country bought into the team, but it's the same exit. So as a country, I would not say losing the round of 16 was a successful endeavor. In a perfect world, they would have been playing right now against Spain in the quarterfinal. And again, they probably would have lost, but it would have been not Belgium. It would have been the United States today. But alas, here we sit yet again in the World Cup.
Can you just imagine what happened? We'd had a show out there. There'd be a watch party. you and I would be obviously talking about the game. Maybe CDOT would be out at it. I mean, I don't think you wouldn't have time to go to the watch party, so you'd have to sit here and watch it back here, unless you got the time off, which I'm sure could have happened with Team USA in the quarterfinals. You still involved in it? You still loving it?
I mean, I got on back here, still locked in. I'll be watching next week. I'll be watching all day Saturday. It's going to be, I mean, the World Cup hasn't ended for me just because the United States is over. It's been very much high-level soccer.
Who do you want to win and who will win?
I think France is going to win. France is just a behemoth.
Yeah.
I would love to see an England-Spain final because we got that once in the Euros last 2024, and it was an incredible experience to watch that, but I am not optimistic that's coming back to fruition.
Yeah, I'll talk about it coming up here in a bit, but I did think about you there tonight, Rob. I'm sitting there watching TV as Team Switzerland's landing in Kansas City Wednesday night. You know, they got a game here Saturday, obviously, versus Argentina. England was here. We know they were here Wednesday night. Argentina was here. I was like, man, that's three of the eight teams in the World Cup staying right here in Kansas City. Could it get any better for you and your podcast with that? Three of the eight teams, almost 50% of the final in the quarterfinals of the World Cup were in Kansas City. Do you ever think you'd see the day?
I mean, I had a pretty good hunch there'd be some teams here that were playing high-level soccer when they announced Argentina, England, and the Netherlands would be in town. I didn't think that with the quarterfinal match we'd have three in one time, but alas, Kansas City has done a great job with the World Cup. I know we'll talk about it later in the show.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it later, but I am too. I'm still watching everything. I told you I'm a – which is interesting because I'm the other football is the sport that I dive into, and I know you dive into it a lot too, but I'm not going to lie. I've enjoyed every single second of it. I've watched it. I love international competition. I like sports, so, of course, I'm going to be glued to it. I mean, you're seeing the best of the best, and they're not disappointing. I mean, the stars are acting like stars, and that's not disappointing at all. Speaking of stars, Tom Brady, and I know you guys planned to talk about this, but you had a shortened show because of the Kansas City Royals yesterday, so you weren't able really to dive into Tom Brady, who joined New Heights to talk about wide receivers. And obviously wide receivers, a position near and dear to my heart, Rob. Near and dear to my heart. I think I started talking to you and CDOT about wide receivers months before the draft. Matter of fact, Chris and I, Uno, Sarah, and I were looking at wide receivers back in September. And we'll start looking at the 2027 draft coming up here. We'll start doing the character concerns each and every week. We've done it now, three different drafts. We'll start again with 2027 because it's going to be an absolutely epic draft this year in Washington, D.C. It's going to be insane with all the talent we have. So we'll look at that. But Tom Brady, and I thought it was interesting what he said, and it kind of made its run with people talking about what Tom Brady said about wide receivers. It is interesting because you would think a guy like Tom Brady wouldn't see prima donnas. It's hard to be a prima donna wide receiver around Tom Brady, right? Well, I guess receivers can be prima donnas in front of any quarterback. You know, if Tom Brady was facing it, what's Patrick Mahomes facing? Interesting thought, but here's Tom Brady as far as what's it concerned with the different wide receivers on teams. And I'll say this, though. I haven't seen a ton. Like, I have not seen a ton of wide receiver drama with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, yeah, there was something starting to build up there with Tyreek Hill. Do you give him the ball enough or not? And so, but they got rid of that problem really right before really the heyday of Tyreek Hill. Now, could they bring him back? Absolutely so. But things are much different. It's been humbled in so many different ways. But here was Tom Brady about wide receivers.
When I see these NFL off seasons, I think, I swear to God, I think now, like, this is just deja vu. I've been seeing the same since 2000 when I came into the league. You know, this guy this guy gets in trouble, he's arrested, this guy gets cut, this guy gets traded, this guy's unhappy at receiver. You know what I mean? It's like it's like Real Housewives of the NFL. And it's like it's the same script. And it's like over. And we just that position, it's like I almost want to like the psychology of receiver. I almost want to say, like, you're gonna catch 110 balls this year. Okay, you're 17 games. You're a great receiver. You're going to catch 110 balls. One game you're going to get 11, and one game you're going to get 3. And the next game you're probably going to get 11, then you're going to get 3. I can't have you like the happiest guy in the world when you catch 11 or the most miserable guy on the team when you catch 3. We got to look at it over the course of the year. You got to sustain because it is a lot of emotional energy that you put out to that position to go, come on, come on, we got it, come on, stay locked in, let's go, because I need you, come on. And it's like, that position takes away, if you have that volatile emotional output, it takes a lot of energy from a lot of people to keep that player really stable. So you got to like try to reframe it for them and just say, listen, like you may get three, but you're going to get 11, and or you might get 11, 11, 11, and then, you know, three, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
If they're doubling Travis, you ain't touching the ball. That's the reality. If they're butching you at the line of scrimmage but with the defensive end and they've got, you know, some ridiculous athlete over the top of you, you ain't, but it frees it up for other people.
Exactly.
And you got to be cool with that.
You know, I talked about that a little bit last night, Rob, and the fact that I love what Tom said there about it's the Real Housewives of the NFL talking about wide receivers, the prima donna groups, because there was a seismic shift with the talent in college football, you know, exclusively going to wide receiver, guys that could have been great running backs. You know, Odell Beckham could have been a great running back in the NFL, but he chose to play receiver at LSU. The money was there. The money was there for prima donna wide receivers. I think of A.J. Brown, and I think of Philadelphia being a prime example. That Super Bowl they beat the Chiefs, I was shocked that they actually came forward as a team together and won that game. Because all year, that was just a mess. You had players talking trash against each other. They weren't cohesive. I give Nick Sirianni a ton of credit to be able to win with that team. And A.J. Brown's that type of guy, right? Reading the book on the sideline there if he's not catching the ball. And you got to placate him, man. And he's totally that dude. If he has 11 catches, he's, oh, everything's great in the world. He's going to dinner. Hey, I'll pick up the check. But if he gets two or three receivers, you know, Jalen Hurts sucks. You know, that's the questioner, what he would say. Basically, he's down. You wear it on your sleeves however your team goes out there and play. And I haven't really seen that with the Chiefs. And it kind of leads me to, you know, this is a big quarterback draft in the NFL this year in 2027. And the right makeup of the quarterback, there's no easy answer for it. I mean, Tom Brady's and Patrick Mahomes just aren't always out there. Josh Allen's, Lamar Jackson's, they're just not. Joe Burrow's, they're just not, you know, out there. They're few and far between the rare elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Because once you get past 10, it's like, yeah, they're really elite or not. How many guys can truly win a championship? There's plenty that can get to the AFC title game. There's plenty that can actually get to the Super Bowl. But how many can actually go and win the Super Bowl and then go and win the Super Bowl again and go to five of them like Patrick Mahomes has and win three of them? Because you have to be able to manage talent around you. Quarterbacks essentially become the CEO. And you look at Mahomes and what he's had to deal with the different wide receivers with the Chiefs, the fact that he's got a number one receiver, then boom, finds out, well, he knew Rashee Rice was going to be suspended. We just don't know how many games we didn't know when last year until they made the decision to miss the first six games. So there you go. Patrick, you're out your first six receivers. Then you go down to Brazil, and Xavier Worthy runs into your tight end on play three. Now, he's out for three games, and you have to manage talent. They have to get on the same page as you. So what he's done the last couple of years is incredible because the talent at wide receiver, it's not great talent. It's okay talent. I wouldn't say it's elite talent at the wide receiver position, and he still wins. Like, to me, that goes credit to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the offense. And I know oftentimes we look at the offense and see the struggling with it, but with no running game, with wide receivers that are suspended and or hurt all the time, an offensive line that was in shambles, moving around pieces at left and right tackle, is it any wonder they finished with just six wins? When you look at all those parts together, no running game, an offensive tackle, left tackle that played in just eight games, and you're moving left to right tackle, couldn't figure out what you're doing. Is there any wonder the Kansas City Chiefs only won six games when you look at all these parts? But the good news is they don't have wide receivers complaining with each other. You know why, Rob? Because they don't have that elite talent to complain. Who's going to go in there and complain about only getting three catches? Were they going to complain? No. Rashee Rice going to complain? Probably not. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. But it's truly amazing what he's been able to do with the talent he's had at wide receiver.
Didn't the Chiefs have this? And we found out post-mortem that they had this? Because remember, on the podcast, it had to be said.
Oh, yeah.
Tyreek Hill was saying that after games, when the Chiefs were in the midst of their, you want to call it the first dynasty, the start of the dynasty, I don't know what term you want to use, Tyreek Hill said that he was calling Drew Rosenhaus, yo, I'm not getting enough touches, I'm not getting the ball enough.
I remember that.
It's not the only reason why, you know, the Chiefs moved on from him, but it's one of the reasons why the Chiefs moved on. So the Chiefs don't have that problem now because they don't really have that talent at wide receiver now, but they have dealt with this in the past, and they – he made a decision to quickly have that player exit stage right and head to Miami because he is no longer on the roster. But we know the Chiefs did have to deal with that at some point.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, they did get rid of the one problem that could have developed into a much bigger problem with Tyreek Hill not getting the football. And then they just go with the more simple route, which is, you know, it's they've been winning. And again, to the Chiefs' credit, they don't point fingers. There was times this team was led by the offense, but even close between the offensive talent and defensive talent, but there wasn't finger pointing going back and forth. I mean, hell, the Chiefs lost two games where they scored over 40 points. That same season, a couple years ago, they lost the game 54-51. So they scored 51 and lost, so scored 40 and lost, and yet no finger pointing to the defense. So you got to manage all that talent, and we're looking for the right quarterback, you know, who to be. That's one of the equations that you have to throw in there. And I thought Tom was interesting when he called the receivers the NFL version of the housewives, the role housewives. We'll see, though. I don't know where you sit, Rob. You know where I sit already in the 27 draft. I mean, there's no question where I'm going in the first round. None. Can you guess it by any chance?
Running back.
Your favorite. Nah, I think we'll stick with the wide receiver once again, and it's a prime time to get one in D.C. as well. Coming up next, I was asking a question. I was on with the Buffalo Bills radio up there in New York yesterday about the Chiefs' schedule. I don't know if you had much time to sit there and look at it and see what kind of start the Kansas City Chiefs could get. But does it even matter to you? Do you even look at the schedule and think, man, it's a win, win, win. There's loss. Do you even look or do you even care? Because you know what? To be honest with you, schedules don't matter. I'll explain why next.
Your off-season home for everything Chiefs football.
Talking about the top story, the Chiefs, they have a new offensive coordinator.
96.5, The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back on Monday. Text line, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. The phone. I don't know why the phones are busy. It's a little bit of difference. I actually knocked the phone over. So that might have been why the phone was busy. Not sure why everybody's calling. Dude, we didn't call for any calls, did we, Rob? To know the phones are busy?
Not on this show.
Yeah. Well, we just got a text that the phones are busy. It didn't mean Anyway, just accidentally knocked it off the hook, so whatever. Worst to first in the NFL. People were talking about the Chiefs' schedule, and I never really thought about it. I mean, obviously, when the schedule comes out, you start looking at it, but I'm not one of those guys, believe it or not, as much as I like the schedule and the schedule release and when it comes out, I much rather care who you're playing, when you're playing, how much rest you have in between, and what does the finality of your schedule look like? What's it look like in December? Do you have a bunch of home games? Are you traveling to just a bunch of cold games when you come down to it? Like, for example, this December for the Chiefs at L.A., perfect weather. In December, you're in Los Angeles facing the Rams and SoFi. Then you're at Cincinnati December 13th. Who knows what that can be? That's a coin flip on if that's going to be bad weather or not. That's the one game that could be. You get the Patriots at home. Who knows what the weather is going to be on December 21st in Kansas City. The 27th, they're at versus San Francisco in Kansas City. So in the month of December, two home games against the Patriots, then San Francisco before road games in December in L.A. and Cincinnati. And they do finish the season at the Chargers and versus the Raiders. But it starts off with Denver at home, which, you know, is debated. Should they play Denver in Kansas City or in Denver? Where would you rather see the game played? And I know the Rockies will play the same night in Denver, and Denver fans got in the fetal position and started crying that they won the division and they should have the game in Denver. First of all, there's no right at all to have the game at home if you won the division. There's no rule that says if you won your division, you should have the home game. As a matter of fact, the Chiefs have won, what did they win the division? 9 straight years? I think it was 9 straight years they won the division, the AFC West. I mean, it was an insane run. And they opened the season on the road several times throughout that stretch. Hell, they played in the Super Bowl, and they started the season in Brazil. So didn't get any further in the home game for that. Did they do the Chiefs any favors? So they didn't even pay attention to what was going on because the Chiefs opened in Brazil, and it was a Friday night. Then they're home playing Philadelphia Eagles in Kansas City. It's going to be a tough game. So you go play a tough game in Brazil, have the, 18 hours of flight time, come back, play the Philadelphia Eagles the following week. They did them no favors in 2025. Matter of fact, they've been a guinea pig for all the NFL streaming partners for the last couple of years. It's not hyperbole. It's fact. They have been. They've been the first ever game on many of these streaming platforms as it is because they want the Chiefs because four of the top five games are Kansas City Chiefs games. Last year, the Kansas City was number one market in soccer every time Team USA played. Kansas City people like to, A, watch TV and vote to get all-stars in. That's something that they like to do. But I was being kind of teased a little bit by Buffalo Bills reporter. Went on a show yesterday, Gene, and he's like, man, the Chiefs, they could start off the season 5-0. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, Denver at home, then you got the Colts at home. Then you're at Miami and at the Raiders. Obviously, Kansas City owns Arrowhead West in Las Vegas. We all know the facts there. I do think they'll be an improved team, but by that time, I don't think everything will be set by the Raiders early on. I think they become a better team throughout the season. Miami, they're going to be horrible this year. At least I think they're going to be horrible. And so, yeah, that's pretty favorable. I don't like the bye week, though. I don't like the bye week being in week 5 because you got Denver, Indy, Miami, Vegas, boom, you have a bye week. Like, that part sucks. I don't know if you saw the bye week where it was, Robin, think, man, that is way too early to have a bye week. I know teams would rather have it in week 8, week 9, have the bye week around somewhere like that, but the Chiefs should be really refreshed by the time they play the Chargers in a crucial AFC West matchup at Arrowhead Stadium because that's the team coming off the bye, and you know Andy Reid and his record after a bye. It's simply ridiculous how good he is when he's got the extra time. And Denver's about to find out because as soon as the schedule came out, Denver became one big-ass bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs. May, June, July, August, all the way till September 14th has been one big bye for Andy Reid to learn how to beat, study the Denver Broncos, what they're doing well, and beat them. So that's it turns out to be a very favorable game, having that game at Arrowhead Stadium, but it's not their right because they won the division last year. Who cares about that? The NFL doesn't care about that at all. But the schedules, do we really care that much about schedules? Because I told Gene, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Because I guarantee you there were a lot of teams last year that looked to have the Kansas City Chiefs on the schedule, and the Chiefs weren't playing that well. They were a 6-win football team. Many teams were fine with the Kansas City Chiefs. They maybe got worried a little bit when they saw the schedule, but then when they actually played the Chiefs, like, oh, this team isn't as tough as what we thought. But since the NFL realigned to 8-14 divisions in 2002, 25 teams have gone from worst to first in their division in a single season. No teams back in 2024. 23 Texans, a recent example of that, improving from 3-13 and 1 in 22 to 10-7 and win the AFC South. At least one team has won its division the season after missing the playoffs in its entirety. 53 of the 55 seasons, now 54 of 56 since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. Think of that. At least one team has won its division the season after missing the playoffs in its entirety, 53 of the last 55 seasons. That bodes well for the Kansas City Chiefs. They missed the playoffs entirely. Could they be one of these? Because pretty much some team does it every single year. But I look at the schedule. Yeah, it's very favorable for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they would have to be heavily favored. They will be favored all these games. They will be favored in their first five. I don't think they're going to be underdogs until they hit Seattle on October 25th. Denver at home, Indy at home, at Miami, at Vegas, Chargers at home, at Seattle. That'll be the first time they're an underdog, right?
I can see Denver being an underdog against Denver.
At home?
First game of the season, Mahomes' health's in question.
Yeah, with the health,
Who knows? Maybe the 3 points of Arrowhead. Maybe it's like a minus one or a pick'em, but I'm not saying it will happen.
I can see
it being
3 points or less.
I think it's going to be a minuscule line if they are an underdog. But I can see questions about Mahomes' health changing the line for week one and maybe potentially making Denver the favorite. But that's the only one where I think it's in doubt.
Do you feel this team is a 13-plus win team?
No. I do not think they're a 13-plus win team.
You think they're a 12-win team?
I think they're 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I think if they get some great luck and some great breaks, 12. If things break wrong, 10. But it's hard for me to say.
Andy Reid usually averages right around 12 in Kansas City.
It's hard for me to say a team that went 6-11 last year is going to turn around and win 7 more games than they did last season. That's in the division they're in. So I have them as like a 10, 11, 12 win team. I think 13 is probably a bridge too far.
Interesting. I mean, there's some games there. I mean, there's some nice stretches there, you know, at Atlanta versus the Cards, then at Buffalo. That'll be interesting. Then at the Rams and at Cincinnati. I mean, that is a hell of a 3-week stretch at the end of November, starting on Thanksgiving
then
night.
It gets very, very, that's when it starts to crank up though. And now around the time you see the Rams, and that's, they get a break going into that Rams game, but then after that, it starts to really, at least on paper, toughen up again.
No, I don't know. They have the Jets. So after they go to Seattle and Denver, they've got the Jets, Atlanta, and Arizona, right? That's the kind of the cutoff line. Because then it's at Buffalo, at the Rams, at Cincinnati, and back-to-back weeks. 3 straight weeks going to Buffalo, the Rams, and Cincinnati before they return home to play the Patriots. And then you look the last 4 weeks of the season, the Chiefs just have one road game at the Chargers. That's it. And that's not that bad place to go there in January. He's going out to L.A. at SoFi Stadium to play that game. So that's actually a nice road trip for the Kansas City Chiefs, whether you respect the Chargers or not. Oh, we have a score now, Rob. Spain is up on Belgium 1-0.
This could get ugly quickly. Belgium's not the same quality as Spain. Not even close.
Who scored that? Did you see who scored that?
I believe
it was gambling purposes only.
Torres.
Okay. I was just curious.
He's the one that grabbed the ball, and I think he's having a child because he did the – yeah,
I saw that.
Torres, yeah.
I saw a player doing that a couple games ago, and somebody came over and knocked the ball out because it ended up being a flag on the play. It ended up being a goal, so they were doing that. The penalty kick's not just one of the most exciting things in sports. I know we're going to talk about the World Cup coming up here, but when it gets to penalty kicks, I start rooting for it when you get to overtime. Like, I start looking at the clock, and then you hope it ends at whenever the extra time at +7 or +8 minutes, but it's always longer than that because of the injuries that go on. But I start rooting for penalty kicks at some point because that thing is high drama, man. All the money those people are spending on airfare, hotels, and everything, and it comes down to penalty kicks versus your opponent, that's absolutely insane. But I don't really look at the Chiefs' schedule and think, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just, everything is up for grabs. Again, there's always teams that look good and then turn out to be bad and not the team you thought they were. And the Jacksonville is a perfect example of that. You know, Doug Peterson had that team looking good. They'd won a playoff game against the Chargers. Boom, they fail. He's run out of town. They end up drafting Travis Hunter, number two overall. Then they build back up this past year, collapse in the playoffs, but they're up and down. And so many NFL teams are up and down. From one year to the next, you can't count on them. But somebody's going to fizzle. Somebody who's good this year is going to be bad this coming year. Maybe it's the Patriots. Maybe it's a team that had a great offense, looked good. I know they brought in A.J. Brown and spent a lot to get him. And maybe it just doesn't work out. They'll have a tougher schedule. They had an easy schedule last year. Maybe it's them. Buffalo yielded that division to New England Patriots. Maybe that could happen. You know, maybe it's Jacksonville. You know, being 13-4 last year. I don't see Jacksonville being 13-4. I don't think they're sniffing 13-4. But there will be a last place team to win the division. Who do you think that'll be, though, Rob? The choices in the AFC are the Jets, the Browns, the Titans, and the Raiders. I don't think it happens in the AFC, to be honest with you.
If you don't think it happens in the AFC, where do you have it? Because I think of those teams, if I were to rank the candidates, because I agree with you, I don't believe any of those teams are going to be worst to first. I think the Titans are the most likely, although I don't believe they will do it.
Cam Ward, year two. Yeah.
Robert Saleh is a good football coach.
He is.
Or at least a good defensive mind.
They just paid Simmons a crap load of money.
Yeah, and I think they had a nice draft. Like they're the team I think is most likely to do it. Their division's the weakest. So I think they're the most likely in the AFC, although I don't think anyone in the AFC will do it. But if you look across the landscape of the NFL, because it happens a lot, who is the worst to first candidate? Because I think there's a couple different options in the NFC.
The NFC is much, much different. The candidates will be the Giants, the Lions, the Saints, and the Cards. Let me just guess what your two top choices would be. Mine would be the Lions and the Saints.
That would be my top two as well.
That would be the top two.
I think the Giants are like, the Giants can do it. They're
I
like
think
a
the Giants are going to be one of those teams that makes the playoffs after missing.
I agree. I don't know if they're going to go worst to first. They're a team to watch out for. But the Saints and the Lions seem like obvious choices for possible worst to first candidates in the NFL. Because
especially in that crappy division where 8-9-1 last year.
Also, the Saints might have the best quarterback in their division.
Tyler Shuck, baby.
I mean, I'm not saying they do or they don't, but it's very possible Tyler Shuck's the best quarterback in the NFC South.
I mean, the Cardinals, there's no way in hell. Cardinals are probably be drafting first in D.C. this year, even though they drafted Jeremiah Love this past year. He's going to find out the same fate what Austin Jeanty found out being a first-round running back. Or Amari Hampton with the Chargers. Going to see what, just because you draft a running back in the first round, doesn't guarantee you any kind of success. Detroit's interesting. Because Green Bay, Chicago, and the Vikings, to be honest with you, Rob, I think the Lions could do it, to be honest with you. I think that'd be a good bet. It'd be hard, though, to bet against the Bears and what's going on with the Chicago Bears. I mean, I have the Chicago Bears at this point winning the NFC North. Yeah, the Lions would be a good candidate, you know, out of these teams to win it, but are you looking at the Bears better than the Packers and the Vikings? I know I still am. Bears won it last year by 2 games. Can they win it again this year? I think they can.
I think they can.
Luther Burden's really.
I don't think it's going to be because of Luther Burden. I think it's because Caleb Williams is a star.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It felt like there was a slight regression from the Lions because they lost Ben Johnson. Their offense, they fired their offensive coordinator midseason, and they were kind of a mess at times. But they're the kind of team that Dan Campbell and Jared Goff have always been good since they've been there. There's been one really bad year. I think that was year one for both of them. Other than that, they've been a competitive, salty bunch, and now they get a last-place schedule. I think that's why the Lions are the option, but I'm probably higher on the Saints than most people because I do think Tyler Shuck's the answer, and that division stinks, and Kellen Moore had them playing really good football at the end of the season.
Really? Is that what you, okay. So as far as candidates that didn't make the playoffs last year, and you look at it and say, all right, that's guaranteed. I mean, the Dolphins didn't make the playoffs and the Jets, if we start in the AFC East, I don't think either of them make it this year.
No, nothing's changing there.
The Bengals and the Browns didn't make the playoffs in the AFC North.
Bengals are definitely a candidate.
I think the Bengals make the playoffs.
They had a really good offseason, I think. I like their offseason. I mean, they
if Joe Burrow can stay healthy.
Yeah, they had one big priority this offseason. Can we defend? And they've done everything they can to at least try to fix that option. Now, maybe you're right. Burrow's health will change things. But they definitely identified a weak link defense and tried to fix it.
The funny thing is the AFC South, The Indianapolis Colts. Remember everybody loving the Indianapolis Colts early in the season?
Danny Dimes.
And they put all their faith in Danny Dimes. You make a trade for Sauce Gardner because you think you have your quarterback figured out. Now they got to figure out a way to, I guess, go forward with Daniel Jones. And I have no idea what they're doing. They're in a mess. They're in an actual mess, Rob. They're in a rock and a hard place because that's a good roster. And they have put everything behind Daniel Jones, who was having a great year until he wasn't. So the Colts and the Titans didn't make the playoffs from the AFC South. Did the Colts? I mean, the Colts were 8-9. I mean, they were on the fringe making the playoffs last year.
They feel like they're going to regress.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Then the AFC West, I think three teams actually come out of the AFC West in the playoffs, and I think the Raiders are the only team out, which is not a far stretch of the imagination.
Can I say that? The Raiders are not making the playoffs. I don't want to make this sound like I'm pro-Raiders making the playoffs. I think the Raiders are going to be really improved from this last year to this year. I think they're still, like, a tier behind everyone else, but they have a good coach. They have a good quarterback. Like, they're quietly doing a nice job of building something out there. I just think this is the year one where it's taken in the teeth every night. But if Mendoza's the guy he was in Indiana, they have themselves a player out there.
I know they're working with their line, their wide receivers, because that's been a mess. But Brock Bowers, the tight end, Genty at running back. I mean, they're starting to put some skill positions there behind what you do when you draft the quarterback first overall. Good relationship between Cousins and Mendoza. I can see them being a 6-win football team this year, 6-7. I'm with you. I think they're still a couple years away. Like I thought the Patriots were, but they definitely surprised us. Are we going to have a team like the Patriots that come out of nowhere and make it all the way to the AFC title game?
Yes.
And almost the Super Bowl?
I mean, I don't know if they'll make it all the way to the Super Bowl again, but there's going to be a team me and you are not talking about that will come out of nowhere and do something. It happens every year in the NFL.
But who's it going to be, though?
I mean, last year you talked about the Patriots. Did you think the Jags were going to be what they were last year? I mean, they were 13-4. They were a real team. Did you think last year the Bills weren't going to win their division? Did anyone have the Broncos, you know, bouncing back from a first-round playoff exit to be the one seed? Like, there is 100% going to be a surprise in the NFL. That's just how the NFL works.
I'm just trying to figure out who it would be because you got to think quarterback. Quarterback development. Who's going to be the quarterback that goes out and surprises this year? I mean, is it going to be the Giants? And Jackson Dart suddenly finds it and has it? Are they going to be that surprise team that does it? Or is your Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints going to be that team to kind of lead the way in the NFC? I don't know, man. I just don't know where the surprises are going to come from. I think it's going to be standard issue in the AFC. I think it's going to be a fight there at the end with Burrow and Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I think you're going to see the same old crew there at the end. The NFC, I think, is more wide open for that kind of stuff going forward. I don't know. I'm just kind of interested in looking at the schedule. Yeah, it's always fun when the schedule comes out, but again, I care more about, just like, 2 years ago, the Chiefs played 3 games in 11 days. It's stuff like that that stands out, or when they average out, you know, who has less rest than any other NFL team, that stuff does come into play, especially with a team like the Chiefs that had an extra 20 games in the postseason during the Mahomes run. They basically played a whole extra season than any other NFL team where rest becomes imperative, and especially with the NFL adding that 17th game, you know, rest becomes extremely imperative to what teams could do in playing 3 games in 11 days. That's tough. So it's time, place, where you're playing them, where you're playing in December, what's the weather going to look like? Are you playing in cold weather cities, or are you flying out to L.A. like the Chiefs are? So I think the front end and the back end, definitely more appetizing, that 3-game road trip from, you know where, going to Buffalo, then the Rams, then to the Bengals. By the way, Rob, last night, the Bengals, I can't stand the Bengals, but I respect what they do. And Joe Burrow does have a winning record against Mahomes. That was the argument last night. Who's the one player in pro sports that you fear the most? And we'll do that coming up here at 4:18 on the text line if you want to do it. Brought it up kind of a little bit last night, but I'm curious who strikes the most fear in you when it comes to professional athletes. 913-586-7965. Come up next, though, World Cup fever. I know Rob's podcast. I'm curious how long you're going to keep the podcast rolling because it's been good stuff. You had about every mover and shaker in Kansas City on it. Oh, by the way, they're keeping the heart here. FIFA's giving it to Kansas City, but the World Cup fever hitting Kansas City next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton. Belgium's tied this game up. What do you think, Rob? They're standing strong, aren't they? Belgium,
man? I was surprised they scored. And that couple minutes left here in the first half, but good for them.
Spain hadn't lost in, what, 34 straight matches? They've had some draws and stuff, but what they in the international competitions, I mean, they've been on, what, quite the rolls in the international play.
This is the first goal they've given up this tournament.
Yeah, that's right, the first one they've given up. So that's a... That was a shock when you're playing a team that's not giving up a goal yet. And you think, are they going to give up more than just one goal in that situation? So your newest podcast this week, you and Scott Parks do for the World Cup, which angle did you hit this week? Because I know you hit them all.
We talked to Eric Graves of KMBZ9 News about how Kansas City has really risen to the occasion and done a good job with the World Cup as far as transportation, security, you know, handling a fan fest, logistics. Like, it feels like it has been a win for the city.
You know, I'll say that as well. And, you know, there was a lot of worries, a lot of talk about it through the years and the last couple of years, how Kansas City's going to handle it. But haven't they handled it well? Because I think the first litmus test that we saw was the All-Star game back in 2012. You know, people doubted if Kansas City could, you know, host the All-Star game, be in the vicinity, is so far away between the two, staying downtown and going out to the stadiums, but went off without a hitch. No one really complained about it being in Kansas City. So that was really a first test. Handled the NFL draft well. And then opening night for the World Cup, the first game, you saw some traffic, snares, some flare-ups. What did they actually do, Rob, to alleviate the traffic? Because I know they would only – they let the parking lots open about 4 hours before, but the gates to the actual stadium would be, what, 3 hours? Did they change that at all? Because I mean, I know we haven't seen the issues.
So I haven't been able to delve too deep into the actual like logistics of what they did, but what I know is the people you know, Kathy Nelson, Pam Kramer, Mayor Q, if there's a local dignitary you know who is importing in this World Cup off, they, as part of KC 2026, sat down and went to FIFA and said, here is what's going wrong. We handle events at Arrowhead all the time. We handle transportation to Arrowhead all the time. We get people in and out of the game all the time. No problem. Here are the things you are doing that is wrong, and here are some fixes that can improve it. And ever since they went to FIFA and said, make these improvements, the improvements have been made. I think they've adjusted the bus system. They have more running. They're running faster. They're running earlier and earlier. I do think the credit where credit is due. Transportation was an abject disaster for Argentina and Algeria, and since then you have heard no complaints, no problems at all.
And I know that one, the next game, game two, was on a Saturday. and it went smoother. But of course it is, because you're not.
I believe all the games, even the weekday games, have gone. I think it's been mostly Saturday since then, right? Unless I'm forgetting one. Netherlands was on a Thursday, but
it was earlier too, wasn't it? Like yeah, a five or six.
It was 6 o'clock on a Thursday, but they've, outside of Argentina and the Netherlands, all their matches have been on Saturdays or weekends where traffic is just different.
It's much different at that point, but. To be honest with you, they found out what the situation is. It reminds me of Morton Amphitheater. They had the same deal, their first concert they had there at the new amphitheater in Kansas City. Then they changed their pattern. They apologized to everybody, say we didn't have it right. It was our first concert, and they went ahead and fixed the traffic flow getting into and out of the stadium. But I'll be honest with you, Rob, did you expect this to go off like this? I know there's some businesses that didn't get all the business they were counting on, but you know, I'll remind them too, it's a lot of people from the outskirts, like, here's the thing with people traveling to Kansas City. A lot of them don't rent cars. Well, they obviously don't. They use Uber and they use mass transit. Mass transit's a big thing, and it's why a lot of things that are happening happen downtown, because you get downtown the location, it's easier logistically to go to all the different places. But if you're on the outskirts, you better give people a real reason to get out there. And so we haven't seen that quite as much. I don't know about you. I mean, obviously the show's in the suburbs. We're not downtown doing it, so you don't see the ins and outs, the daily deal. You've been down there messing around from time to time. Have you noticed anything? You noticed the large international fan contingent? I mean, I can understand the fans of the teams playing being here, but I can't imagine a lot of fans just of the World Cup being in Kansas City, or am I wrong? Did they travel from Philadelphia and wherever just to see games?
So Carrington was talking about this because he does live downtown, and the way he described it was downtown has the buzz of a Big 12 tournament. You see soccer jerseys everywhere, whether okay. that be Argentina, the Netherlands, one of the teams actually playing, or just people in soccer jerseys. You feel there's a hype and a buzz around Power and Light. The streetcar stops are more full of people downtown coming to and from FanFest. My brother lives in the plaza. I've gone down and visited him. The plaza, there's an extra oomph. There's an extra crowd. There's an extra juice going on from the plaza. So, like, I think you can feel it in those parts of towns. Where you live, where I live, where we work, we don't feel it the same way. But there is definitely something happening downtown. Now, whether it's all international travelers, I don't know. I've been down there a couple of times. I didn't poll everyone. But there are more soccer jerseys and more soccer energy. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, this person is from Argentina and this person from Colombia. It could just be a person in a Colombia jersey for the weekend.
And did Kansas City deliver? Hey, it gave you something to think about. It gave you something to talk about, to be honest with you. Because of the Royals season to being what it is. Now, if the Royals were red hot right now in the last couple of weeks, last month, playing good baseball, that certainly takes your attention. And we all kind of laughed about that the Royals didn't really carry you to the NFL draft. And then all of a sudden you get this summer. We're sitting here, the World Cup's in its quarterfinals, still a game at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night. Today, we are 2 weeks from quarterbacks and rookies showing up to St. Joe. 2 weeks. Now, I get it. You can't go to practice until 29th for season tickets or the 30th for open practices to the public, but the team will be there. Like, training camp does begin in 2 weeks from today. In 2 weeks from today, I'm sure Rob will have audio of Andy Reid standing outside the porch steps talking about Travis and Taylor's wedding. Because I guarantee you that question will be asked by people, and you'll hear his reaction to the wedding up there. You'll hear his thoughts about going away for training camp. Just the same questions you get in each and every year, but he will be on those porches, and the guys will be carrying in the video game systems and everything else. Rob, have actually heard of quite a bit of people talking about people that didn't even really care about soccer. I've heard them talking about, does this parlay itself over to the MLS? I have my doubts on that. Like, I have my doubts on that, but I will say, I think people have thoroughly enjoyed it. The text line and everything, so he says, I'm not going to enjoy it, that I probably don't care that it's on. That's far from the truth. I've actually, surprisingly, really liked watching the World Cup games, Rob. I don't know if that surprises you or not, but I've actually enjoyed watching it.
I'm happy you've enjoyed it. I definitely didn't think you would be someone that enjoyed it. Because
and I did.
That's just not your sport, but I think part of the reason you've enjoyed it is, as we watch this tournament, the stars are stars. Like, you're not, I mean, let's put Pulisic to the side. The biggest names in the sport have absolutely delivered. So people like you, or even Carrington, who before the tournament, I was like, hey, keep an eye on these like five players. Those five players are all balling out. It makes it very easy to watch. It wasn't like you had to keep your eye on some dark horse. No, Harry Kane scoring goals. Erling Haaland is scoring goals. It's not the under the radar types.
And that's the thing. I think as sports fans in America, you like that. You know, if internationally they're watching the game with the Bengals and the Chiefs, they want to see Mahomes and Burrow, right? They want to see them go out, you know, throw the ball around, score touchdowns. They want to see them deliver. And with soccer, what do you do when Argentina comes on? You know Messi played for Argentina. So I want to see Messi play. And he has delivered every single game and scored in every single game. And it has not disappointed you. Maybe you want to watch France playing and you want to see what Mbappe's doing. And he keeps scoring goals. And that's fun. Erling Haaland, the big Viking from Norway. Like, you tune in, this guy's just doing unreal things out on the pitch. And it's fun to watch. See, there I go again, using pitch instead of field, which really didn't use that term a lot, to be honest with you, before the World Cup, just because everybody says it all the time. Or getting a brace, Rob. I learned what getting a brace was. The two goals.
Look at you learning the verbiage.
Hey, man, get a brace, man. We always just considered the hat trick. And, you know, and people don't throw their hats in soccer like they do in hockey. So imagine they're throwing their hats down at Arrowhead when Messi got that hat trick. Unbelievable. I've enjoyed it. You're right, though. The stars have been stars. That helps, doesn't it, though? That helps, Rob. When you're looking for American, you're looking for ratings. Like, you want to see Harry Kane and Erling Haaland, right? That's an interest to watch that game because those guys are delivering. They're not sitting there, not showing up, not scoring goals or anything. They're a threat to score anytime they're on the field, and it's been fun to watch because they are delivering. And I don't think they could have scripted this thing any better to have the stars acting like stars in the games. Is there one particular player that's must-watch for you?
Mbappe. He's
unreal.
He moves different.
Haaland's fun because of the whole Viking thing afterwards and the row of the fans. They were at the PGA events too, out there at the Highlands out in Connecticut, all the Norway fans doing the row and going for Hovland and stuff like that. So, no, I've enjoyed it. I did enjoy USA's run. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the watch parties we did. I enjoyed everybody getting excited. I enjoyed the fact that Rob and Drew are doing a podcast during the live part of that game. I thought that was kind of fun. But it's going to be interesting seeing these numbers. I will say this. Kansas City has definitely embraced it. And again, three teams are staying here on Wednesday night, three of the eight remaining. Shifting gears over to Major League Baseball with our one and only Royals insider, Josh Vernier, next.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.